Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 176. On this episode, we actually discuss our favorite cigars, and this is something that not a lot of people have done, but we are discussing our favorite cigars over the $20 price point. So reflecting on some cigars that we've had in the past that have surpassed the $20 price point. I'm really excited about this episode because, again, it's not something that people really talk about. They usually talk about, okay, within this range or under $20, and be like, okay, well, what's worth it over the $20 price point? So let's get into it. I don't want you guys to wait any longer. Let's see which ones are the best of the best. That's my bad. Oh boy. There we go. Now we're cooking with gas.
What we were just talking about is like, so my newborn baby, we found out she's allergic to dairy. And we were just talking about like, what did humans go through over our past, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of generations of beings to go like, milk was fine and now it's not.
Right. Yeah, it's really, and you know what's even weirder to me? This is what I said this the other day because it's a little unnerving. There's milk in the context and under the definition that like, it's coming from a breast of some animal, right? Goat's milk, cow's milk, like sheep's milk, whatever.
An almond tit.
That's my problem. There's almond milk and oat milk, and you aren't milking a tit of an almond. You're not milking the tit of a fucking oat. I don't like the idea. Like, you can't milk a cashew. I mean, if you've ever seen how that stuff's made, what they do is they add water to a bunch of fucking crushed cashews, and they literally squeeze it through, and it makes a milk. My thing is, don't call it milk. Just call it cashew water. Call it almond water. That's what it is. It's not milk.
It's not as flattering.
I know, because, I mean, it's supposed to be a supplemental item for people who have lactose intolerance. I get it. But it's not, definitionally, it's not milk. I feel like you have to call it something else because it's so deceptive. Although, I love almond milk and I love cashew milk and I love oat milk. It's all good to me.
I just find it bizarre that mankind took the time through evolution to go, yeah, when we have children, that children needs to feed off of my partner's teta,
right,
for the sake of milk, right?
Right.
Because that's how this baby's going to live. I'm sure the first several iterations of babies all died because they didn't know
their mother's milk. I don't know, but isn't there like an intuitive nature to a woman that says like, this thing, you feed on this thing. This thing is what will give you sustainability in life as a young being. Is that not a thing? Is there not like an intuition around that?
There is a biological like intuition and just genetic thing that like makes it instinctual.
Yeah, because like monkeys breastfeed. But every animal breastfeeds naturally.
But do you think God, if there is one, or evolution got it right the first time?
No, I don't think it was right the first time. I think there was some attrition up front, for sure. There was a first wave of people who didn't figure it out.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess I agree with that, yeah. Well, like the first wave of lions that were put on the earth all fucking died instantly. Right. Like God made this super predator and it couldn't get past fucking toddler maturity because it didn't know how to breastfeed. It's like, I made this super predator that could eat anything, the king of the fucking jungle, and it didn't make it past 2 weeks because it couldn't figure out how to breastfeed.
Right. So, like, take that, right? Like this instinctual thing. But then think about what we did as humans.
Right. We took it to another level.
Like, hey,
I don't need my breast milk.
There's my child sucking off the woman I had sex with.
Right.
And there's this goat with its young sucking on its nipple, and it takes a fucking weirdo. It literally takes a psychopath to go, you know what? I want what that goat has.
Yeah, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Was it a mom or a father or a man or a woman who was the first to experiment with the milk of another animal? Or in fact, did they use the baby in the experiment? Meaning that maybe a mother was not able to produce breast milk. Yeah. And father goes, aha, we got cows out back.
We got goats.
And these goats are feeding their young. So let's have little baby Henry latch onto the nipple of this fucking billy goat and see what happens.
That's very well. That's some solid logic. I think it also there's just fucking weird dudes. I think it's majority 95% is a bunch of psychopathic men who are just
and
like
you know.
Weird fetish.
And I will say something about psychopathic men because this is definitely something that is. I don't know if you're. This is a total tangent, but it just goes back to like psychopathic men, specifically psychopathic white men. Did you hear about that? He's a politician in Hungary. So, like, in Hungary, it's part of, like, national policy. Like, they're very anti-gay. Like, really behind the times. They're not a progressive country. Like, very anti-gay. So, all these politicians that run for office in Hungary obviously have that as a supported platform. Like, we're anti-gay. And this guy has come out in, like, many news articles and throughout many news press conferences that, like, he is, like, staunch anti-gay. Apparently, it came out that he was in a fucking and arrested by the police over in Hungary. It was a 25 man orgy. He got fucking busted. This like crazy anti-gay homophobic man was in a 25 man orgy in Hungary and arrested by police.
I think the press might have misquoted him. I think what he meant to say was, I hate them so much, I just can't get enough of them. Yeah. I hate that I can't get enough of them.
Yeah. It's how fucking crazy is that? So again, wild. Going back to like the strange things humans do, it's like he was like so adamant. I mean, through literally his entire existence in politics was like he was known to be the guy that was like, ain't no gays in this country. We're going to fucking hang them. And then literally caught blowing 25 fucking dudes in a massive orgy. And he was one of like seven politicians there. They named the other guys too. He just happened to be like the most well known.
He went with his clique?
He took his whole gang with him. Yeah.
His council?
Like it was like
his cabinet?
Like it was some Christmas party. Like, guess what we're going to do?
This is Janine. She's from HR. I shouldn't say Janine.
Yeah, it would have been Dean.
Dean, yeah. Dean, he's from HR. He's here with us.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude caught fucking just getting hammered by 25 other men.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how I really got on that tangent, but I'm glad I did. Because that was not, that was totally impromptu. That was not something that was like on the agenda.
If I was a competing politician, I would have been like, this guy, this is who you're voting for. He's more than a politician. But the question is he? And then I would say D-I-C-K-H-U-N-G-R-A-R-Y, Hungary.
He's Dick Hungary. Dick
Hungary. That's pretty good.
I actually like that. That's really funny. Dick Hungary. Hey, did you see anything about those monoliths? I know you're not like into news and shit. The monoliths that were like fucking like there was one that was found in Utah, and there was another monolith that was found in some other foreign country, and then there was like a third one that was found. There's like fucking. You didn't see any of that? Hold on, I'll see if I can find it.
No, I've been in a deep bubble.
Yeah, no shit, clearly. So there was the original one was found in Utah, and people just like, okay, of course it sparks like the interest of like conspiracy theorists, right? In terms of like, okay, here's this fucking crazy thing. I'm going to share it with you. Yeah, so there's the monolith in Utah. That was the first one that they found, and it's just this giant steel thing. And there was all these conspiracy theories that people were coming out and saying like, okay, well, this is like an alien thing, right? Like, how did this get here? And the craziest thing is like a week later it disappeared. But actually, technically, it was there for a really long time, but someone finally found it. But it's got like human rivets in it. Like, you could tell it was man-made. Like, you can see all the rivets and shit that they used.
Yeah.
And then this one disappeared, and then the next day another one was found in another country, and then a third one was found. Well, it ended up being like this artist thing. Like these like artists around the world, like basically like crafted this whole like monolith, like and placement thing as a part of like this artistic expression, something so on. But it's funny how like people just took it to this nth degree, like all these weird conspiracy theorists who were just like, oh, this is this crazy fucking thing from the aliens. And it was like, no,
it's for Beacon, man.
And there's literally, I'm pretty sure there was like fingerprints on the second one where they're like, someone was like holding it and probably like positioning it into place. It's like, no, it's not fucking aliens. But it like blew, dude, it blew up on news. What I mean, you see right now, it's on CNN news article.
What if it's just paper mache with like silver spray paint?
Could be. That, so, and the thing is like, none of them were the same. So this one was like very flat steel with like rivets in it to keep it together. The second one that they found had like, you could tell that it had been buffed because there was like a swirl pattern in it. So it was like, they were all different. And then they're just like, they were coming and going. Like it was like there and then it disappeared. And of course it ends up finding out it was just like this, you know, this artist, which good for the artist. I mean, like, how cool is it that you like were able to pull this weird thing off? And it is kind of cool. But like, what's funny to me, and these are the dumbasses in the world, there's so many stupid fucking people that the first thing in their head goes to, well, that's aliens. From aliens. And it's like, well, no, not even close. Not even close to aliens.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, it's hilarious to me how it's like, it blew up and became this like internet sensation news thing. And then all these people were just disappointed in the fact that it finally came out. And they're just like, nah, it's just a couple artists that put this shit together.
What the hell are you doing?
What are you doing, buddy?
I just found out Elena's have diarrhea, so she's really sick. Elena's
really sick. What is on your chest?
Marker? Elena's sick.
Love you, buddy.
Thanks for the update. I love you. All right.
I'm not clipping that out. It's staying in. That's so funny. What a dork.
Oh, my God.
What was on his chest? Marker?
Yeah, it looked like a wound, though. It was a red marker. It looked like someone slashed his chest.
Dude, that's funny. That kid. He cracks me up. All right. So do we want to get into it?
Yeah, we might as well, right?
I mean, should we have news to share too? I don't know what to do. Do we share news?
Do we share news?
Can we share news?
I don't know.
Should we share news?
I mean, do you, the listener, want to hear news?
Dasty question. Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier. I'm like, do we say anything? Do we not say anything?
It's such a predicament. I don't know if I want to tease it.
Yeah, timing's critical on this one. How about we do this? I'm gonna do something real quick. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Let's just do this. What is that? If you're not watching this on YouTube, you're having no idea what we're doing right now. But I would say if you're not watching on YouTube, you need to watch on YouTube because there's significance. Now, I'm going to put this here. I'm not going to say anything else about it. And I'm going to let the audience decide. Let them decide what they want.
Yeah, I feel like we should have cued a clap track. Or like a gasp track, like,
yeah, we could. I'll put it this way: we are getting close to a pretty cool release of a project we've been working on. Mm-hmm. And by a release of a project, I mean something that is literally going to be hitting the households of many people across the country here in the next few days, and hopefully over the next few weeks. But we'll have more to tell in like the next week and a half. And once everything is like completely done, I'll broadcast it to the fucking masses. But I just want to know, are people excited about the idea that these two white bozos, being me and you, could do something so cool? I hope so. And stay tuned. You'll know about it in the next few weeks. That's the only teaser that I have.
So crazy, people. Like, it's so, like, you're never going to believe it. Like, tune into our channel Monday, today, when this comes out. Get on our YouTube and check it out, because you're not going to believe what we're doing. Because isn't that what, like, YouTube hypers do?
Like, yeah, dude, they're real weird. You know what's the thing? It's like, I love YouTube as a platform, but I cannot stand, like, YouTube people. Like, if I'm, like, going to watch a video on something, like, I watch a lot of, like, to-do videos, like, how to do certain things. And, like, I hate how they always get, like, super energized and they're like, and if you like this video, subscribe here and make sure you click the notification button. And it's then, like, fuck off. The next
video.
Oh, that shit drives me nuts. Like, half the time, like, I wish, you know what? I'm going to do something like that. I'm going to pre-record something that I can put at either at the beginning or the end of the episode. And I'm just going to make that little, like, bell just look like a butthole. And it's going to be like, poke my butthole.
Hey, how about we do that for our next sponsor read?
We could.
They make super hype train like a YouTube.
Yeah, we definitely could. We actually need to do that anyway, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's get into it. That's all I'm going to do to hype out what we're doing, because more details are to come. I would say just keep watching on social media over, like, the next few days, and, like, everything will be broadcast out and you'll have a really good idea of the things that we're working on. Hey,
and a key word, it's a synonym that goes along with what our project is about. It rhymes with longer.
Yes. Rhymes with longer and songer.
And songer.
A songer a word?
And dick monger.
Monger for sure. all right. Yeah. We're super fucking stoked about it. That's all I'm going to say right now. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, you already have a pretty good idea, but if you're not, you don't know what the fuck we're talking about, but you'll find out shortly.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Okay. So Chris and I decided, and I thought about this, earlier in the week, because I keep getting questions and it happens pretty frequently. This isn't like an unfrequent thing. So there's a lot of times where, like, I always tell Chris, like, I want to do this on the podcast because there's an elevated frequency of requests or things that people ask in questions, like, through social media. And this was one of them, because it actually came as not an argument necessarily, but, like, and we've talked about it before, like many things in life, there's certain products that are created, but there's also what we'd call diminishing returns. Like, I always use wine as an example. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that people spend on wine, and, like, in terms of, like, one bottle. But how good is that relative to something that may only cost $20, $30, right? So there seems to be this price explosion, this price increase. And it could be like, well, these grapes came from this place and that's a rarity aspect to it. But really, in essence of, like, how good is the particular product, is there diminishing returns? And almost arguably, the answer is yes, right? So in this instance, I've been getting a lot of comments and questions from people, especially around posts that I post where I was like, hey, I threw up a Davidoff cigar, or maybe like a Byron cigar, which are very expensive cigars a lot of times, depending on what you choose.
You didn't fucking pick it. I already know you picked it. I picked the same goddamn one. You piece of
no,
shit.
No, I guarantee you didn't. But there are cigars in the marketplace that are above the $20 price point. And I often get people who ask me, like, are there cigars and what are they that are worth that money? And a lot of people always talk about the best cigars under this mark, but rarely ever talk about, are there cigars worth it over this mark? And being two people, that you and I, where we really challenge ourselves every time we review a cigar, we smoke a cigar, we say, is it worth the money? We always put a price point value to it, right? And that helps us kind of collect how we really think about the cigar in terms of a score. Like, what are we going to do in terms of recommendation? A price point consideration is always in there. So I thought it'd be really cool today for you and I both to talk about, okay, if there's something above the $20 price point that we like, what is it? And how worth it is it? So let's do it. Fucking do it. I'm actually really excited about this. And I spent a ton of time, and Chris, I know you spent a lot of time really kind of going over what you thought, just given your history and the things that you've smoked that are elevated beyond the $20 price point, like, how good are they? And what are your favorites? And which ones would you, without just going through a review process, recommend to other people?
Yeah, and I've had a lot of cigars over the $20 price point, and it's not to say they're not good or they're not great, but these ones seemed the most memorable to me, either out of surprise or just the way I got them, or just the style or the image of them, I guess, maybe like just the marketing and uniqueness behind them, you know? So starting off with number one, Corey. One of the ones I had that I felt was like actually a really damn good cigar, and I've had plenty of their cigars before, but when this one came out, they said it was $28. And I'm like, woof. I was like, I know they've got some pricey cigars in their lineup, but damn. This one is the Illusione Epernay Le Voyage, which keep in mind,
it's a great Epernay.
But this cigar is 9 1/4 inches long.
Yeah, it's a fucking big pig. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think B&G still has some of those in their inventory.
Yeah, it took me 2.5 hours to smoke it.
Yeah, dude, I love just an Epernay in general, which are not elevated to that price point. Illusione, they like run the spectrum of pricing. You can get a great Illusione cigar for like $6-7, and you can also get a really good Illusione cigar at $20, like the Hot 10. Yeah. Like that's a good, perfect example of like the spectrum of what you get under their product. And I mean, they're all fucking good. That's a good pick. I never even thought about that pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like the traditional Epernay. It does have a slight uniqueness to, I think, based on the Vitola and just the length of it. But it smoked so fucking good, and it was like $28. You think that's just like a steep like gimmick for a cigar that they're already blending. But there was something quite special about smoking it in a 9 1/4 inch cigar.
You know what's interesting, too, about... Like you're different from me in terms of like springing for certain things when it comes to cigars. Like you throw like caution out the door. Like I feel like a lot of times if someone's like, hey, Chris, there's this $25 cigar and it's this thing and here's the characteristics. You're like, I'm in. You just fucking buy it. And you may not like it. I know you'll be honest in terms of like whether you like it or don't like it for the price that you pay. But if someone comes up to me, I go, yeah, but there's also all these other things for half that price that I really fucking love. So I need more convincing, I think, a lot of times than you do. But I love the fact that you're so open to like exploring if someone suggests like, here's this Illusione Epernay Special Edition 9 1/4 inch cigar, which I think is dope because I love the Epernay, but it's not something that I would immediately grab off the shelf and smoke. And you're just like, yeah, fucking, I'll try it.
$30, fuck it.
Yeah, I love it. That's a good, I like that. I actually like that pick, and it actually makes me want to smoke that cigar because I love the Epernay blend so much. I would love to see like how different it is and something that's fucking like, does it hold up in 9 inches versus like maybe a Corona style Vitola that I would smoke it in?
I mean, it's basically in a Corona size ring gauge, but it's not
just long as shit. So it's just the Epernay, like, but like twice as big.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting. I dig it. Okay, that's cool. I like that. I'll give you one. How about the Plasencia Amaforte Generation V, which is that funky hexagonic shape? It's a 7x58. When this cigar came out, I remember, I can reflect. Is that one that you picked?
That was one I picked.
Awesome. Okay, good. I'm glad you did. I knew there would be one that we'd overlap on at least. Yeah. And it's a Nicaraguan Puro, but I remember having the cigar for the first time at a place right outside Chicago in a suburb called 8 to 8. It's part of like the Monte Cristo family down there. One of my favorite cigar lounges to visit. And I remember when this cigar came out, it's when Plasencia decided, hey, we're going to come out with our own shit. And they brought out the Amafuerte, and it came at this super elevated price point. It was very tough for someone to convince me to pay, you know, $22-odd, $23 for this cigar, not ever fucking hearing of them because it was like the first thing that they brought to market under their name. And I swear to God, I smoked that cigar and I was like, holy shit. It was weird to me because I was like, I always hated the idea of brands coming out with a cigar that you never heard of before. And Plasencia has been around for fucking ever. I mean, they've been a contract manufacturer for the longest time, over 100 years, right? So they've been around forever, just not under their own brand name. And so I always had this difficult thing in my head, and I've shared this on the podcast before. It's like, if you're going to if you're going to make a run at the marketplace and no one knows who you are, don't come in at your fucking cigar at over $20. Like, period. Yeah. Just don't do it. It's a good way to not sell any cigars.
Yeah, seriously. But
somehow Placencia fucking pulled it off. And it's because the cigar is so goddamn good.
It's one of the most beautiful cigars I've ever seen crafted.
Oh my God. Construction-wise, like even that fucking weird hexagon shape and all the other Vitolas that they craft that cigar in. And honestly, let's be real. Could have picked any Placencia. This one, because the Vitola happens to elevate over that $20 price point. But there's other Placencias that are hovering around that $15 to $20 price point, even like the Ama del Fuego. Like, you have the Cosecha 146, which I absolutely love. Their cigars are so goddamn good. But this one in particular struck a chord with me because I remember when I had it, and I remember at the time it was a very new brand. Like, Placencia under their own brand was a very new thing. And I was like, there's no way I can't add this to my absolutely smoke this above $20 list.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you had it too.
That was one. It's one of the most beautiful cigars I've ever seen. It hits so many points for being a Nicaraguan Puro for me, with a good amount of spice component, very rich in flavor. It's like such a good fucking cigar.
Yeah. Just absolutely amazing.
Okay. I like this like a tennis match, but we're not really competing. It's just we're making sure that the ball doesn't go out of bounds.
We're like two old ladies playing tennis. It's non-competitive.
It's non-competitive.
We're just trying to hit it over the net.
I'm going to give you a curveball here.
Okay, I'm ready.
The one that I smoked not too long ago had me surprised, coming in at a $22 price point, okay?
Okay.
From a brand normally I shy away from.
Oh, this is interesting.
This is the Alec Bradley Fine and Rare Box Press.
Oh, no. This is going to be so controversial. I don't even know if I want to talk about it. Do we even air this episode at this point? I'm not sure. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Hey, you like that curveball? So here's what I'll say.
Hold on. The producers are ringing in. They're saying abort immediately. We got to back out of this.
I don't know what it is. I've had it 3 times now.
Okay.
Buying it at the $22 price point. There's something very sophisticated about this Alec Bradley Fine and Rare that has a significant amount of interestingly aged tobaccos. Mm. Now, typically, I would say for most Alec Bradleys, I don't like them per se because I find them to be bland and dull and not very inventive or have any thing about him that really truly stands out from so many different cigars that I've smoked that I love.
Right.
I was intrigued, as you know, that when you slap a $20+ price tag on something, I gotta know if you're for full of shit or not.
Yeah, I remember the first time you had it because I had it shortly thereafter.
Yeah, and I really liked it. Like, is it like the best cigar in the world? No, I can find cigars that are cheaper in price, but I do think when you're talking about cigars over a $20 price point, it's a surprisingly decent contender to think about if you're going to spend over $20.
I feel like so many people are unsubscribing right now. I feel like the unsubscribe button is just like, fuck. I'm pretty sure iTunes probably just shut down. They're like, we can't have this shit. What kind of blasphemy is this? I will say this in your defense, it is a good cigar, and I would never want to say that about an Alec Bradley cigar, but I remember, I actually posted a video about the cigar and how good it was, and I never post videos on Instagram, like very rare, yeah. And I remember posting a video on how good this cigar was, and I never said it was good for the price point, I just said it was a good cigar. Yeah. It's one that at the $22 price point, I remember paying for this cigar and smoking it.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I didn't like it that much. I will give him this, and this would even still be a tough pill to swallow for most people. If it was at the $15 price point, I'd be like, that's pretty damn good, because that's how good the cigar really is.
Yeah.
I just think going above the $7 above that, I'm like, that's a little egregious, but I respect your pick, honestly. I really do, because I thought it was a great cigar. It's just like, if I think about other things I smoked, I'm like, well, no.
Yeah, let's be real. I'm not voting it in my top list if it was,
yeah, yeah.
If one of the criterion was, is it worth the money?
Right.
No, I'm purely you're saying a on cigar
$20, right,
that I thought was good, that is over $20, that right. seemed memorable to me, because the reason it's memorable to me is because I don't like Alec Bradley. Yeah. And this one I like.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
yeah. So it is memorable. I would argue it's the best cigar in their lineup. Yeah. I just wish it was not as expensive.
Yeah.
Because then I would probably smoke more Alec Bradley.
Yeah, for sure.
I dig it. Okay, let me pull a random one off my list. How about, this is a cigar I know you haven't had, and I've only had a few of them, is the Byron Londinensis Reserva 5 Anus, yeah. which is actually the Anus. And this one is a 5.5x54. Now, here's the thing. All the components of the cigar are relatively, I mean, they're all undisclosed. But they manufacture in Costa Rica. Now, here's what I've heard the story around Byron is and how they get. So essentially, and this is what I've heard, and I don't know if it's the truth, and I'm sure people know way more about their manufacturing process than I do, but here's what I've heard. I've heard what they do is it's actually Cuban tobacco, and they roll it in Costa Rica, and essentially what you're paying for to get a Cuban cigar is you're paying for the box itself that it comes in. I think there's like a weight thing to the packaging that comes over, and once it surpasses a certain weight, it no longer becomes classified as a cigar, and it comes classified as something else. If it's classified as something else and no longer classified as a cigar, you can technically just get Cuban cigars in the United States. Thus what Byron is. That's what I've heard. Whether or not that's fucking true, I don't know. Don't really care, because here's the thing. I'm putting it on my above $20 list. And by the way, these things are $32 a piece. $32. And I've smoked a couple of them. I'm here to fucking say these cigars are fucking amazing. If you could buy a Byron cigar, any Byron cigar, not even the Londinensis, if you can buy any Byron cigar for $15, dude, you have the best cigar you'll ever have in your life for the money. They are that fucking good. And I've had a couple of these. And I swear to God, there's no, it's not a hype thing. It's not even like, it's not the wine thing. It's not, here's this $2,000 bottle of wine, and is it good in comparison? People buy $2,000 bottles of wine because it's a status thing. I'm not a status guy. Look at me. I look like I'm half homeless. I'm not a status guy. I'm telling you, this fucking cigar is amazing. $32, there are occasions where I'm happy to pay that for this cigar, because I get this like weird, unique experience, especially if I'm at a lounge and I'm not smoking home. I actually have one in my humidor right now, but it's like I'm saving it for like, there's got to be a time of which is conducive for me to smoke this cigar. It cannot be a random event. It's got to make sense, right?
When I die.
Probably. It'll be a celebratory cigar, correct? Yes. So I think about like, it's just like, I want to be in a cozy, comfortable, warm place, like where I'm just like in good company. That's when I want to smoke the cigar. But is it worth $32? Yes. It's so goddamn good. What is happening in the background?
I don't know, dude. He's trying to be sneaky. I don't know what it is.
It's not working, because I don't know if he knows how cameras work.
Like, I've heard about this cigar from you many times, and I know a few people that have smoked it. And for me, it's kind of like the unicorn that no one else has seen in the forest. You know, like people, yeah, it's like,
it kind of is. Like, you can buy them. It's just you're paying $700 for a box of them.
Yeah.
And no one's going to spend $700 really on a box of cigars. I mean, there are people who will, because there's people who have a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, if the mood strikes, I'm going to buy it and smoke it, but they're not readily available everywhere. Like, you can buy them online. The humidor that I go to in Chicago has them, but Chicago's a big market. Like, you're not going to find those in Ohio. Like, there's not going to be humidors around here that are carrying Byron cigars. Like, all the fucking hillbillies around here are going to buy it. They're not going to know what the fuck it is. But I'm telling you, it's a great cigar, and I'm willing, and have been willing, and have done it, paid $32 for these fucking cigars, because they're that good.
How long was the smoke, roughly?
About an hour and a half.
Okay, so it's a Robusto.
So the first Byron cigar I ever had was from Mo. So I met Mo in Chicago, and he gave me one, and he's like, smoke this and tell me what you think. And I smoked it, and I was like, what is this? And it wasn't the Londinensis. I forget which one it was.
Yeah.
And it was so good. I was like, dude, this thing is unreal. And he's the one that turned me on to him. And then after that, when I found him in Chicago, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm buying these for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking amazing.
Good pick. One that I'm jealous I haven't had.
Yeah. It's just like, it's got to be one of those things we talk about, like special occasion celebratory cigars, you know, reserve the time of which you buy that for those special occasions. Like there's going to be a time in your life, Chris, where like it's totally going to make sense. And you'll be like, I'm going to smoke this Byron. Like this is perfect for the occasion.
When all the kids move out.
It's probably a really, really good opportunity to do it. That would be a great one. So what do you got? What else you got?
Okay, this one also is a very memorable one for me. And I've had it many times since, but the first one was very a special occasion. It actually comes at a $22 to $25 price point. It varies based on the place you get it from. But at the time when I bought it, it was $25. And you'll know it as the celebratory smoke that me and you had for your 30th birthday.
Yep.
Which is the Padron Aniversario Series 1, 1926.
Oh, yeah. I love a 1926. So it was weird. I will say this. The Padron didn't make my list because actually my favorite Padron, which is the number 9, comes in at like a $19 price point. It's like a dollar shy of like...
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not shocked that Padron made the list at all, like at all, especially your list, because I love Padron. I actually smoked one of the little short 1926 the other day. I went on like a 30-minute walk with the dogs.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is perfect. I'm going to smoke this 1926. Yeah. And it was great. And they're so fucking good. They're so good. Like, it's weird to me too, because like there's these really large manufacturers, like the Fuentes, the Drew Estates of the world, AJ Fernandez, Fuente, like some of these, like just Monte Cristo, like juggernaut, like anything from like General, right? And like somehow Padron, like you're never apprehensive to spend more than $15 on a Padron, whether it's a 1964 or special edition, anything in 1926, doesn't matter. Like there's never an apprehension because you know it's going to be that fucking good. Like you know that Padron that you smoke is always going to be good. Always. It's just there's never any question. And there's no polarization. Like I don't know that many people that are like, ugh, I could take or leave Padrons. Even if it's not your favorite, you have like a high amount of respect for it and will probably even admit like, oh yeah, I'll spring for a Padron every once in a while for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a great pick. I think it's a great pick. Love Padrons.
Yeah. What's your next one?
I'll do another one at random. How about this one may surprise you a little bit. And I've only had two of them, is the Arturo Fuente Opus X Lost City.
Lost City. Pyramid.
Yeah. So most of the Opus X's don't really, depending on where you get them, never going to breach the $20 price point. If you just get an Opus X cigar, you're roughly paying like 16, $15 to $17, right? But the Lost City to me, which is like a Dominican Puro, in particular the Figurado, and that's the only Vitola I've smoked this in. And I remember the two times that I smoked it, and both times were in Florida. One was in Orlando and one was in Panama City Beach, weirdly enough. So I smoked it twice in two places in Florida, which is so fucking strange. I'm just not a huge Fuente fan. I've said this before, Don Carlos, take it or leave it. Some of the other shit that they have, like lower end, just it's a take it or leave it brand for me. It's just like,
I'm not
just
even
like,
all Opus X's are good.
No, and I never really get excited about anything Fuente really at all. Like they come out with some, you know, weird iteration, special edition stuff. I'm like, yeah, I get it. But dude, the Opus X Lost City is just so fucking good. Dynamite fucking cigar. And the Lost City is like, dude, it's right around $30. And we're talking like on that Byron level. I love the Opus lineup. I love it. It's just so weird how a brand to me can be so polarizing, because their lower end shit I fucking despise. I think the craftsmanship of it is garbage. I think the flavors of it is garbage. And how it takes you this elevated $30 price point to make anything good kind of irks me, but it is fucking good. I cannot deny that the Opus X Lost City is that good. To me, it's just a fucking flat out, just phenomenal cigar. And I've loved the both times I smoked it, both in Florida, I thought it was absolutely incredible. And it is, like you said earlier, it's like a memorable cigar. It's one that I think about and I go, God damn, it's fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Just all around, really good.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. Okay. I got one more. Do you have one more, Ish?
I have two.
Two more? I mean, I have two more. Well, okay. I'll do both. The next one I have, which barely scrapes by at $20. Now, and in some vitolas of it, it actually is sub $20.
Okay.
Which made this pick very, I felt very gracious that I could select this in my top list for like over $20.
Yeah.
But it only is over $20 in this Bellicoso.
Okay.
Which is the Davidoff Nicaragua.
Oh, nice. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It barely scraped by the
$20. Yeah, because like the Robusto and the Toro don't go above 20.
No. It barely scraped by.
Now, but
the Davidoff Nicaragua is muy, muy good. What do you want to say? I could see a fiendin'.
I love that you picked this cigar. I love it. Because I am such a fucking fan of Davidoff. And in particular, Nicaragua. It is one of my favorite, like, go-to, but I like it in the Toro. And the Toro is like $17. So it never made my, it's not going to make my list.
Yeah.
Would it make my list if we did a list from like 15 to 20? It'd probably be my number one.
Yeah.
I love the Nicaragua that much. It is one of my absolute fucking favorite cigars, but I only ever smoke it in the Toro.
Yeah.
The Nicaragua to me, dude, is like the staple of fucking Davidoff. It's like, if you want to understand what Davidoff is at a brand at its core, you smoke that or the Yamasa. Like those are the two cigars for me under their lineup where it's like, and I don't even want to call them entry cigars. It's like, if you just want to know what they're all about and you want to get your foot in the door, smoke those two cigars and then tell me what you think. The Nicaragua in particular is one of my absolute favorite cigars. Every time I get a chance to smoke, I always have them on hand. Like always, there's never a time where I don't have a Nicaragua in my humidor.
Fucking good, man.
I think they're that good. I love that pick. Love it.
And you know, there's a few in the Davidoff lineup that I think are very, very good cigars. I did like the Late Hour, but I don't think it's as good as the Nicaragua.
No, you know, there's a lot of people that like the Churchills, and I get it, and I respect it. And I think they're great cigars. I'm just like, but other Davidoffs? Like, no, they're not as good.
And the Yamasa comes at a close tie.
Dude, that's such a good cigar.
I thought the Yamasa had such a unique flavor.
So good. I could name so many goddamn Davidoff cigars that I love. I could just go down the list and be like, this one.
If you do your own list of cigars over 20 that are phenomenal, the only way Davidoff's going to make that list is if you get this Davidoff Nicaragua Bellicoso or some of their limited releases.
Right, right. Yeah, there's like, if you get like the Year of the Rat, which is like $45, or like this year is like the Year of the... What is this year's? They just released it. Oh my God. Is it the Mule?
I don't know.
That's not right.
I don't remember.
Is it a bull? The Year of the Bull? No. Maybe it's the Year of the Bull. I forget what it is. They just released it and I want to get my hands on it because I have the dog, the rooster, and the rat in my humidor. And I want to get my hands on the new one, which I'll be able to do eventually. Not too far. But I mean, they're expensive fucking cigars. But yeah, I agree with you. It's like, yeah, unless, you know, you're going limited edition. It's tough to elevate beyond that $20 price point unless you're in Vegas.
Yep.
How about this one for me? So Illusione made your list. It also made my list, but my list is the one-off plus 53 Super Robusto.
I almost put it on. Almost put it on my list.
Like this,
I didn't want to put two Illusione on.
Like this cigar for me, another Nicaraguan Imperial, comes roughly at a $30 price point. So there's the other one-off iterations. This is the plus 53. It's a different... Like, you'll see them in humidors. It's got a different band on. It's got a sub-band that's, like, gray. It's a 5¾ by 48. To me, this is one of those ones in the Illusione lineup, specifically because the one-off was another brand that was essentially acquired by Illusione. This cigar is fucking outstanding. When you talk about, like, having a flavor in cigar that is somewhat Cuban-esque but has its own flair, has its own... like unique representation in the marketplace, this cigar to me, and I love Louisiana cigars, period. Like there's rarely anything in their lineup that I'm disappointed in. This cigar to me, like even at the $30 price point, I'm like, yeah, fucking all day long.
Yep.
I just, there's something about this goddamn cigar and all the other one-off cigars that don't surpass the $20 price point are just so magical. They're so goddamn good. They're very memorable. I love when I smoke them. I always get giddy about it. But this one in particular, I'm like, there's no way this can't make my list. So yeah, the Illusione one-off plus 53 Super Robusto, absolutely fucking phenomenal. And I think really when you're talking about plus $20, I think it would be on a lot of people's lists.
Yeah. That was one I almost fucking added. And I was like, I don't want to put Tui Lugione on my list.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get. And it's weird too, because like there's a lot of these cigars. I mean, and here's the thing, like I want to smoke more $20 plus cigars. Like, especially because we're doing this episode, it's like, well, I need to know what else is out there. Like, right. This is just stuff that I've smoked repeatedly that I really enjoy. But I've not smoked everything out there that's above $20. Like, not even close. So now it's like, I'm going to challenge myself, just be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to fucking splurge, and I'm going to just go, let's just get this thing. Let's get this other $25 cigar. Let's get this other $30 cigar. Life's too short not to just fucking figure it all out and see what you enjoy, but see what you don't enjoy. So, but I'm actually like, it's funny too, because when you said earlier, like, oh, hey, this Illusione made my list. I'm like, yeah, I got one coming for sure. So it's funny that, we doubled up on that and that we both picked a Plasencia, and you picked the Davidoff, which is cool. Which I was going to pick the Davidoff, like the Nicaragua, but again, I only liked it in that Toro Vitola. Like, well, that's what I smoke most often. I have not smoked it in the other Vitola. I've smoked Robusto, and I've smoked the box press the Toro, which I love to death. To me, that's the magic Vitola, but I haven't really had the other one, so I don't know.
I had it in the Toro and the Bellicoso, and the Bellicoso is very, very similar to the Toro.
That's cool.
It's just a slightly different shape. It's a tad shorter.
Interesting. Okay.
But I think it's equally as good, at least from my opinion.
Okay. I'll have to try it. So what else you got? We're going down. We're now narrowed down to our number ones, essentially. So everything else was,
I'm going to give you a number five, but it's not my number one.
Okay. What would be your number one in that list? Well, you can tell me after you tell me
I'll tell you what it was, because it was within both of our lists.
Okay.
Hint.
Okay.
This next one is one of those other ones where it's just kind of like, this brand is a little bit different than the Alec Bradley. So this is a slightly curveball that I don't think you might expect.
If it's a Gurkha, I'm fucking ending this conversation immediately.
No, I'm not going to do it. It's a Rocky Patel. No, I'm not going to do that to you either. There are some good Rocky Patels at the $20-ish price point, but it ain't making this list.
Sure.
So,
no, there's not. But yeah, continue.
This one, it comes at a $23 price point. Now, I've always been a fan of this brand. This is a brand that you've always had beef with. Until you gave them a second chance. You boycotted them and then you gave them a second chance.
Okay.
But this cigar in particular is one that I think they attempted to make a very premium cigar with, where some of the other ones might be slightly gimmicky, but they're really good cigars.
Oh, no.
This one is you're fine. It's not what you think.
Oh, no, I think it is.
It's Tatuaje.
Okay.
RC-184 Miami.
Okay. I'll give you. All right. Okay.
It's a very interesting cigar. I like Tatuaje because I've always been into bold cigars.
Right.
And I think they represent Nicaraguan tobacco.
Some of the best flavors I've ever had. I'm with you.
And this one, it's so odd because you can find some amazing Tatuajes for like $6, $7. And then they have some gimmicky ones where it's like, you know, like $10 minimum for like their monster releases, right? And then you've got some of their upper echelon ones where they're like the brown label, like Corona, Cajono. but that one's Cajones. Like $12. Yeah. And so they've made really good premium cigars, and they do represent a good spectrum of cigars you can get at various price points. But this one was so at the top of the list of some of the stuff they've put out that it had me intrigued when I saw it. And it's sporting like an aluminum wrapper. It's got like these colors that are indicative of like I'm going to like a Formula One race.
Like, right.
It's got this very like,
I know which one you're talking about.
Look kind of, but I ended up getting it. It comes in a Figurado, which is a really cool shape, especially at the length that it's at. It's a very long Figurado. And I liked it a lot. Like, it's super tasty. Like,
yeah, you talk about, I've seen these at the lounge and I haven't picked one up.
Yeah, and we, and you know, when we talked about your last one with it being kind of Cuban-esque, this one's very Cuban-esque, but it's sporting like Nicaraguan, and I think it does use Cuban seed. I think
it's a wild vitola,
but yeah, but it's just a really interesting cigar, and it's something that if it didn't have the appearance it had, I might have ignored it entirely. And interesting. Without the price point, if like it was priced lower and it didn't look like it did, I probably would have passed it up like every time, because there's just certain tatuajes that I go for.
Huh.
And that one I never really knew about.
Like, and I've never had this cigar, but now I'm like, I'm a bit intrigued by it, because I've seen it at the lounge and I've just never picked it up.
Like, isn't it kind of odd? I don't ever remember this cigar coming out. I don't remember any press around it.
I remember a little bit of it, but it's not enough. Obviously, not enough for me to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
$23.
Interesting.
And it might be cheaper at the lounge.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that pick. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to. I know it's there and I'll need to check it out the next time I go. And it may be one that I pick up just to see if I. See if I agree with what you're saying.
No.
I don't hate the pick, though, because I do think Tatuaje has some of the best flavored cigars I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very, very fucking good.
They're magical.
I almost added CAO Vision 2020 on this list.
You owe me one, don't you? I was going to buy one.
I got it right over here.
I didn't tell you. I went to the lounge. I was at the lounge yesterday because I had the day off. So I was helping Lauren at her office get some things ready for a Christmas thing that they're doing. Yeah. And I was like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to go ahead and head over to B&G. So I sat there for a little bit. I should have picked one up while I was there, because I remember seeing it actually when I walked by it. And I just have never picked one up. Like, I've never.
I got
just,
it.
I've
just I got yours.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I looked at the CAOs, the Visions, and even Brian was like, hey, like, we got the Visions stock. I was like, you don't say. yeah. So anyway, but. Interesting pick on the Tatuaje. I don't hate that. I want to try it because I'm intrigued. I can't speak intelligently about it.
Yeah.
The other ones I can because I've had them, but like that one, I don't know.
It's a good cigar. I liked it a lot.
Awesome.
What's your last one?
I'm going to give you my last one, which is my favorite one.
Okay.
And maybe a controversial one. And here's what I'll say. I think this cigar for most people is going to be one of those, it's like, it'll be kind of polarizing in the lineup of this brand. But for me, I would argue it's the best. But I think some people would also probably be like, dude, totally fucking underrated. And I think other people would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And that is the Davidoff Colorado Claro Specialty, which is their Torpedo Vitola at 6x52. Comes in at a $24 price point.
Interesting.
I love this cigar. I was introduced to this cigar in Chicago about probably 2 years ago now. And when I first smoked it, I was like, what the fuck is going on in this cigar? And why is it so goddamn good? So it's an Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, Ecuadorian binder, Dominican fillers. $24 price point again at a 6x52. Torpedo. Again, it's got to be in the Torpedo Vitola because I've had it in the Toro Vitola. And the Torpedo is by far the best. I don't know what it is, but it's so fucking good. I actually have two downstairs. So I always hold on to at least one of these because it's not like the most popular. Like, you can get the Nicaragua, you can get the Yamasai, you can get these other, you know, you can get like the Grand Cru and the Signature and some of the Churchill stuff. You can usually find those readily available. Like, they're always, if you go to a Davidoff cigar shop, and they have their fucking displays. You can find the cigars. But you can't always get the Colorado Claro. It's not at every fucking place. To me, this fucking cigar is so outrageously good. I regularly pay $24 for it, and I would pay more for it. And I never said that about a cigar. Never. Yeah. Never said that about a cigar, ever, that I would pay more than $24. It's that fucking good to me.
Have you ever had it?
No, I doubt it. Craziest flavors, the most insane aromatics I've ever gotten a cigar in my life. It's so different and it's so funky and it's so fucking good. I don't know what it is about the cigar, but every time I have it, it tastes the same. Do you know, like, sometimes you'll smoke a cigar in like a certain environment in a certain moment and you get certain characteristics out of it? And then you may smoke that cigar again. And you go like, well, where was the first time I had this cigar? Why is it so different now? Why does it taste different? Why is my smoking experience different? And it may be subpar or maybe better or whatever. This cigar is the same every time I smoke it. It's fucking outrageously good. Outrageously good. Huh. And it's a polarizing pick because I think a lot of people are going to be like, what the fuck are you talking? The Colorado Claro by Davidoff? What the fuck are you talking about? Dude, to me, this cigar is like at the fucking top. It's at the top. Like, it's in my Mount Rushmore even for that price. It's that goddamn good.
Two Davidoffs made the list.
Yeah. And actually two Davidoffs that I really love.
And two Illusiones, which are
and we both delish. And we both picked the Placenta.
Yeah. Now, you asked, we're reserving it to the end because we're only going to go over 10 cigars. You asked me which one's my number one pick. And it actually is the Placencia Alma Fuerte.
Oh, interesting.
It's just, even though I smoke a lot of Nicaraguans, maybe that's why I'm very confident in this decision. I've had so many of them, and that's the style I like of cigar. That Nicaraguan Puro with the strength and body of it from a flavor perspective, and the spice component and how big it is and how long you can smoke that thing. It's just such a good cigar that one is probably one that out of this entire list I've repeatedly smoked.
Like I've actually smoked it on a continuum, but it wouldn't be my favorite, but it's one that I've had often enough. I'll put it that way. Like I've smoked it, fairly frequently. I actually think I have a few more left actually downstairs.
Like so much that I was giddy when they were doing like Placencia like deals. And it was like, buy a bunch of Placencia and get like a whole other set of Placencias. And I grabbed so many Alma Fuertes.
Yeah, they're
and,
great.
And, you know, there's the Cosecha 146 and the Alma Fuego, which are all great cigars, but none of them really top a $20 price point. So
like, right. They get close, but you're right. They get close,
but they don't reach the 20. So, you know, for a cigar that is over 20 out of this list for how many times I've smoked and always love it, that Placencia Alma Fuerte is my pick.
That's a good pick. I mean, obviously I picked it, so it's a good pick. It's a great cigar. And I think it's like, it's one of those ones where, again, I was kind of challenged by the idea of a manufacturer, even though they've been in business forever, but they've been doing contract manufacturing for such a long time, to come out with something with a relatively unknown brand name, unless you were really in the cigar community, then you would know. But if you're just a regular consumer and you see this thing hit the shelves and you go, wait, who and for how much? But they backed it with an amazing cigar. You know, I think in that instance, they bet on themselves and they came out with something really good that people are willing to pay for. So fucking hats off to them. But yeah, man, I think the selection overall kind of threw me a loop a little bit with the Alec Bradley. I'm not going to lie. it's one that I didn't expect it. I'm not at all disappointed in that decision whatsoever. I actually think it's pretty dope. I just wasn't expecting it, but like I knew Illusione would make the list in and maybe one or two different fashions. I knew Davidoff would make the list. I'm not surprised by the Padron on yours. And had it been, you know, I like the number nine, I like the Padron, the Padron nine, the 1926. It just, I think it's like $19. So yeah, like MSRP is like a dollar less than 20. I'm like, I got to remain true to what we're doing here. And even though I'm sure people have paid more for it and some people probably paid less, I'm like, whatever the published MSRP is what I'm going to go off of. So I just, Padron didn't make my list. But I think it's a pretty fucking good list. I think if people listen and say, hey, what cigars should I be in certain expectations or certain situations should I be paying more for?
And
here you go.
And you're getting a list of some cigars that aren't overly flashy and some that are, like some that are a statement with just the shape and the size and the branding and marketing around it. Like there's some on this list that are like kind of bougie. They're kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
They're almost gimmicky, like a 9.25-inch cigar for almost $30 Illusione Epernay.
Yeah.
And it's like, why 9.25-inch fucking log? That's beyond ridiculous. But I'm telling you, if you love the Epernay, you're going to be sitting there smoking it for almost 3 hours going, fuck, it was worth it.
Yeah. And like, I mean, here's the thing is like, you're not going to be, I feel like with any of these, you're not going to be disappointed in what you paid for it. right? It's like we even talked earlier and you've made a statement a few times. It's like, well, yeah, there's going to be some cigars. Like some of my favorite cigars, I don't even want to call it my all-time favorite, which is probably the one I smoke. I would say currently is probably my favorite cigar. It's like a $12 cigar. And in many instances, I get it for less than that. But in terms of cigars that are over 20 bucks, it's like, hey, if this is worth it in a particular situation, celebratory or whatever it may be, like you can spring for these cigars and confidently have a great experience. That's what we're saying.
Yep.
Maybe minus the Alec Bradley. But the rest, no, I'm just kidding. I know. I just shit on the brand because I fucking hate him so much. But that cigar is really good. I don't hate Alec Bradley. But that cigar is really good. That Fine and Rare is actually really fucking delicious. Mm-hmm. And not enough people gave it a chance, which is kind of disappointing. But
yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that about does it. I think about wraps it up. We're right at like an hour. So
yeah.
And I'm really hungry. So I'm going to eat and go play with my dog.
Okay, that sounds fun.
All right, so we'll have more news that'll be coming out shortly. What I will say in conjunction with that news and parallel with that news is you can visit our show sponsor. It's mycigarpack.com. www.mycigarpack.com. They have a new cool subscription opportunity, which is the Factory Direct product. Wink, wink. Hold on. Factory Direct product. So you can check that out. Again, mycigarpack.com. You can check out our website, which is www.hotticketweekly.com, where you can find reviews, news, podcasts, videos, all kinds of crazy shit. I'm not going to give out the link to the URL that we have for this special project we're working on. I'll do that later in the week, probably before we do another podcast. And then we'll have a special podcast that we'll record next week that will give all the details on what we're kind of talking about. Hopefully it'll be a cool surprise for everybody and one that everyone would be excited about. So there you go.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Anything else? Did I miss anything? I felt like I captured it all.
I think that's it.
Cool. Yeah, that feels good. Felt good. Felt really good. You see my beard's getting kind of thick? I look way older with a thick beard, so I've been told. So that's frustrating. makes me want to shave it. Because I've had multiple people like, you look a lot older with a beard. I'm like, cool. Like, it's not what I want to hear, but thank you. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. This will conclude episode 176. We'll be back at you next week with episode 177. See everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video on YouTube. Look up The Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.